All right, greetings to one and all. Today it's going to be short but somewhat controversial. I want to talk to you a little bit about faith, and particularly about the phrase, the just shall live by faith, and how we're to understand it. And my thesis is that the regular traditional Protestant understanding of faith confined to belief only is deficient. It's kind of one-dimensional, and it needs to be deepened according to scriptures. Okay, here's the thing. You know, the just shall live by faith, as battle cry of Reformation, is the phrase which occurs in Pauline epistles in the book of Romans, Galatians, and if you consider Hebrews to be written by Paul, as I do, at least I have no reasons to doubt that Paul was the author of it, but in either case, we have, this recurring motif, the just shall live by faith. And again, as I said, in Romans first chapter and Galatians chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, in Hebrews, we're covering in our little church this epistle, the letter epistle of Hebrews. It's somewhat closely, and so I'm having to preach through it and so on. The book of Hebrews presents a little different angle to the faith, what it means and so on. And of course, the phrase, the just shall live by faith, is a quotation of Habakkuk 2:4. And if you go back to Habakkuk 2:4, and if you read that verse, it says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." This is according to King James Bible. Now, different translations may render it somewhat differently. And the Septuagint will even put the latter part of the verse as "by my faith." So the righteous one, the just and righteous, is the same thing. So the just or the righteous one shall live by my faith. And some translations say "by my righteous one shall live by his faith." And there are messianic connotations. I mean, think about it. Christ is the true righteous one. You know, centrally speaking, realistically speaking, there is only one true righteous one. The righteous one, Christ, he is the righteous one, shall live by his faith. Now, I want to draw your attention to this thing. And don't take my word for it. Don't believe me because of what I say. Especially since I may be saying something controversial. If you go back to Habakkuk, 2:4, and if you have the software, you know, either sword or some other, I mean, there are tools, so you use Strong's Concordance, and you check out the word which is translated as faith in Habakkuk 2:4. And it's an interesting thing that both in the Masoretic, in the Hebrew text, the word that's been translated as faith, and in the Greek translation commonly called Septuagint or Elexis, pistis, that the word faith, or the original, both Hebrew and Greek, as they occur in the Old Testament, have very little to do with believing the propositions. Now, I'm a propositional guy, but that word, the original word, which has been translated as faith in Habakkuk 2:4, and that's the verse that Paul quotes three times in the New Testament, represents the idea of firmness, steadfastness, fidelity, and such things as that. So it's basically a steadfast faithfulness. And if you look up this word, emunah, I believe, however it's pronounced, the Hebrew word that's been translated as faith in Habakkuk 2:4, it's fidelity, it's truthfulness, it's steadfastness all throughout. The same thing with the Greek word pistis. Now, pistis, Greek word pistis, which is translated as faith in the New Testament, is used also in the Old Testament. And it also has the connotation of fidelity, of faithfulness. Now, what I'm saying is that our definitions of faith must be scriptural throughout. We cannot discard the Old Testament witness, especially knowing that the apostles who went around preaching the word of God, proclaiming Christ, they used the Old Testament scriptures. And many times they would use just the Septuagint, the Greek translation. So our understanding of pistis, faith, must be informed also by what the Old Testament speaks, informs us about faith, what it means, and what it is in nature. So what am I saying here? Am I raising a tempest? Am I trying to peddle some new perspective, St. Paul, or fatal visionism that you're saved by your faithfulness? No, 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 absolutely not. What I am saying, though, is that when you read the book of Romans, in the very first chapter, when Paul starts to present the gospel, and he says that in this gospel of Christ, verse 16 of chapter 1 of Romans, he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That if our understanding is informed by the Old Testament usage, by how it's given in Habakkuk in the first place, both in Hebrew and Greek, and how the word was used throughout, then you can begin to understand that this enigmatic phrase, from faith to faith, actually means that in the gospel, God's righteousness is manifested from faith, from the faith of God, His faithfulness, as Romans 3:3, it uses the same construct, the faith of God, the faithfulness of God. Greek is just pistis, both for faithfulness and faith. From God's faithfulness to the faithfulness of the righteous one who lived and died, laid down his life by his faith. Through his faithfulness, or faith, through his steadfastness, truthfulness, fidelity, he laid down his life and saved many. And then the Holy Spirit comes and quickens those for whom Christ undertook such a great salvation, bore their sins, and all of that. He did all that by his faith, this righteous one. And then in the gospel, this faithfulness is presented to us, and by God's given gift of faith, we believe on that righteous one. And we also, the justified ones, those who have been justified through the righteousness of that righteous one, i.e. Christ, will live by faith in him, and also by being faithfully holding to that promise. The book of Hebrews is very strong on perseverance of the saints. And sometimes people get uneasy about it. We kind of get, oh boy, you know, this is kind of works and all this faithfulness business, talk about the works of the law. No. The book of Hebrews is insistent that we must hold firm the rejoicing or the confidence of the hope that we have. It's not a legal obedience. It's not a legal faithfulness. It's faithfulness to the faith, if you will. Well, what I'm saying is that our definitions, our understanding of such pithy concepts as faith must be scripturally informed.